Like you have a bank account, and your children may have a bank account. So your money doesn't go into your children's bank account. If you put money in your account or take money out of your account, that's your account. And children have their own account. The only thing you can do, there's something called transferal of punya. That you have money in your bank, and say, I want to transfer this 1 lakh of rupees to this account. Account number such and such, bank name such and such. It's called bank transfer. It's a mistake. And then you make a letter and you give it to the manager, he recognizes you, then he makes that transfer. So the money's taken out of your account and sent to Delhi and put in some other bank in your brother's account or whatever. A very common thing. Transferal of money. The same thing with punya. You can also transfer punya. Not sin, but punya. So, for example, not punya that you've already accumulated, but punya that you do now. So first you make a sankalpa. For example, Harivasura, Ekadasi Vrat. So we say, oh Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna, I'm going to fast on Ekadasi. Upavas. Ekadasi Upavas. I won't eat anything all day. Chobis Ganta. From sunrise to sunrise. And any punya, sukriti, that I am to receive, and please give this to my father. Because he's sick, he's not very well, he's feeling some bad. So you please, you give this punya, this sukriti, or punya fal, it's called punya fal, sukriti fal, you give it to my father. So then Bhagavan, by the arrangement of devatas and Bhagavan, then that sukriti will be deposited in your father's account. That will benefit him. So this is something of transferal of good deeds to someone else by sankalpa. Sankalpa, then execution of the deed, and then the transfer is arranged by God. And there are many stories in Puran about the effects of this transferal, how people have been benefited tremendously by this type of activity. Disciples benefiting guru, wives benefiting husband, husbands benefiting wives. Many, many stories about this. But as far as the parents, the parents' punya karma or papa karma, their good deeds or sinful deeds affecting the children, it doesn't directly affect them, other than the effect is just that they setting a bad example. The parents engage in a bad deed, karma doesn't go to the son. The father's a gunda, and he goes and murders somebody, the karma of killing that person does not go to the son, or to the mother, or father, or wife, or anyone. That's his karma, 100%. But because of the connection with that person, the son or family members may suffer. They may have some suffering because of their connection. People speak badly. You go in a village, oh, your father's a dacoit, you're not good. So they speak badly. So that gives you some emotional or mental suffering. There's not any direct punya or pap in your account. Because so karma is very complicated. Just living with somebody, you're karmically entangled. You eat the same food, you sit on the same seat. Karma is very complicated laws. But the gross, the very gross and heavy transferal of bad karma to somebody else's record, to somebody else's account, there's no description of that. If you do good deeds, you independently do a good deed, then no one benefits from that except you, unless you make a sankalpa. If you do bad deed, no one directly gets punished except you, but indirectly they may suffer some lack of fame or some disregard in the village. Oh, your father, he's a gunda, you know. No, but I'm not a gunda. No, but yeah, he's your father. You may be a good person, but you become incriminated because of your connection. Bad name. The name is tarnished. The name is bad name in the village. You're a very good person, but because of connection, man is judged by his association. You may be a good man, but if you're moving around all the time with dacoits and gamblers, some people may think, maybe he's a dacoit. Maybe he's a... So we should be careful about our association. A man is judged by his association. If you're always in the company of intellectuals and intelligent people, then people will generally say, oh, he must be intellectual, or he's in that circle. That's a common thing. But you don't have to worry that your husband's a poppy and you're not, and you're like most Indian ladies are pretty religious, because in last life they were men and they weren't very religious. So then they become a woman. Then when they're women, they become very religious. Then the men are very irreligious. Then the men become women. It's like this. Women always do all the praying and all the pujas and all the worship. And the men do all the boozing and all the traveling and all the eating meat and making money. And they do all the sins. And their wives are home praying. And their husband's out sinning. The next life, the husband becomes a woman, and then he gets to pray. And she becomes a man, and she gets to booze it. And then she sins. It goes like this. Ideal thing is that both husband and wife, they live religiously, God-centered lives. This is best. Human life is meant for that. But we have free will, we have independence. God is not force us. God does not force us to follow him. God is love is not force. If there's force, there's no love. Force means slavery, dictatorship, despot, dictator, Mussolini, Hitler. Force, you must follow me, otherwise you follow me or I kill you. And that's not love. I follow you because I admire you. I love you. I want to follow you. I want to serve you and respect you and submit to you. Well, that's the kind of relationship God wants with his servitors. You want to follow me? You want to serve me? You want to love me? Fine. Then I'll reciprocate. If you don't, very fine. I'll also reciprocate. You don't want to love me, you want to forget about me and live independently of me? Fine. I will forget about you and I will live independently of you. You have your wife and your girlfriends? I have my wife and my girlfriends. You have your dancing and partying? I have my dancing and partying. You have your bungalow? You're busy with your bungalow? I'm busy with my palaces in Dwarka. I have my big palaces, my big bungalow. On the sea, I'm right on the sea. So Krishna is like this. It's a loving exchange. Movement based on love. We move to Krishna, we move to God based on love. The force of love, not the force of law. Love me, it's a law. You're married to me, so by law we're married. So by the force of this marriage law, you have to love me. But I don't love you. You're not lovable. My father arranged the marriage. It's not my choice. Now I'm stuck. I'll try to love you. It's hard, but I'll try.